Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. Welcome to Business Matters. My guests on this week's podcast are Karen Bonner, founder of Fish Dish, which produces a range of natural dog snacks, and Joanne Sweeney, author and founder of the Digital Training Institute. After working for 15 years in the family business, the Dunloe native, Karen Bonner, took the decision to go solo in 2017. At the start of 2020, he established Fish Dish after completing a feasibility study supported by Uthers na Gaeltachta, which explored the potential of adding seafood for the pet food industry.
I'm delighted to be joined by Karen Bonner, Fish Dish founder. Karen, you're welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Kieran. Delighted to be on.
Karen, after 15 years, you decided to go solo.
Yeah, I suppose my background, Kieran, was I worked in my family business for, as you say, 15 years. And the role at the time was a kind of a joint role of managing director and the international sales director. So I had a lot of exposure to international markets. And I did that for as I say, just under 15 years. And there was personal changes in my life at that time. So I just recently got married and we were renovating a house and I was in the middle of studies as well. So I had a lot of stuff going on. But I suppose during that period, I would have just identified a gap in pet food. I used to dip my toes into pet food in terms of the category because it's quite innovative, particularly around packaging. So I used to look at that more to benefit my own business at the time. And I just identified a gap in the market for a range of fish-based pet food. And that's really where the idea stemmed from.
A big decision to go out on your own after a long time in the family business?
It was. It certainly was. I would look at it as a sort of an ambitious decision. But no, it was. It certainly was. Like, and as I say, there was a lot going on at the time. I was just completing a master's in sales management around that period, excuse me, so a lot of it was work-based learning and obviously got a lot of learnings from that as well, and probably that helped shape the decision. But it was always a sort of an ambition of mine to have my own business, you know, and I was trying to stay in something that I knew and I felt that there was an opportunity, and that's how the decision was made.
Difficult time with the COVID and set up a new business in 2020, but you're happy, I'm sure, with the way things are going.
Yeah, I don't think there's any, and even back to that previous question, like about leaving the family business, I don't think there's any, you know, real good time to set up a business, and you just have to do it. That's supposed to be my experience, but this was set up and then of course COVID happened, but I think COVID has presented a lot of opportunities as well. Like I actually interestingly enough with regards to pets, which is obviously what I'm doing, the amount of dogs that has actually been purchased during COVID, because obviously people, you know, didn't know what to do with themselves, so they were buying a lot more dogs and stuff like that. So, and then, of course, the explosion in online sales, that's obviously supported us as well. But, yeah, it's definitely not from an ideal timing point of view either.
Are you a pet lover yourself?
I am. I don't actually own a dog yet, although my son, Ari, is obsessed with dogs. We do have a cat, so we have a household cat called Dexter.
Talk to me about your products, Karen.
Yeah, so, well, Fish Dish, the brand Fish Dish, the reason that the name has come to be Fish Dish is we wanted to sort of silo ourselves within fish and fish only. So that was the gap. So what I found when I started looking and exploring the packaging and the products that were available is there wasn't a lot of actual content in terms of the main protein source. So our products are unique in the fact that they're 100% fish. So what I found, excuse me, when I started exploring, namely dogs, I found that dogs are very similar to ourselves and they have many allergens and suffer from, you know, a whole host of different allergies as a result mainly of foods. So our products are grain-free, sugar-free and gluten-free. It's perfect, for example, for diabetic dogs, dogs that have issues with weight management. Like, so about 60% of dogs globally actually are overweight or categorized as obese. So that's a serious problem. And the other major issue that our products help address is that about 80% of dogs over the age of 3 suffer from oral hygiene. So our products are basically dehydrated fish, and they're crunchy in texture. So what happens is while they actually consume the product or chew them, it actually helps clean their teeth and break down the plaque. So they're a functional product as well as a tasty treat, and dogs love them.
How has your product been received locally? And I know the international market is a market that you're going after as well.
Yeah, I suppose when I looked at the market, like as I say, my market was or my background was export led, like, so that's something that I obviously wanted to look at, and I was fortunate that I had exposure to different markets. There was nothing like this in Ireland, although there are similar products in the likes of the UK, for example. But where Fish Dish is unique is I wanted to sort of silo myself into just fish only. So you'll have companies that will produce chicken and beef and fish. Now, some of the bigger brands are starting to introduce fish into their portfolio. Our point of difference is that we are only fish. And there's a reason for that. Like, I'm obviously biased because that's where my domain is. But fish is actually very easy for a dog to digest. And obviously there's a lot more micronutrients available, such as omega-3s and 6s and so on. So there's a multitude of different benefits for consuming fish in their diet. So that was the sort of the background. But the initial products that we introduced are obviously a range of snacks. So there's 3 products, and those products support a 24-month shelf life. So we're also conscious of the environment as well, and particularly with our packaging. So we spent a lot of time exploring alternative packaging types. But we didn't want to compensate on the shelf life of the product. So we've sort of found a happy medium there. So our packaging is 100% eco-friendly and recyclable. So that, again, is different within that category, but it still supports the functionality of the packaging, i.e. 24-month shelf life. So that's perfect for online and ultimately export markets is where we want to take the business.
You've had support from Idris.
Had a lot of support, yeah. I've had a lot of support. And again, from being a sort of a Nudist client, I was somewhat familiar with the supports that's available. But when I set up Fish Dish, going back, I suppose it's been quite a journey now, to be fair, but it's gone back to probably around 2017. So in 2017, Udris supported the premise of what I was ultimately trying to do. So at that stage, I wanted to add value to locally caught or low-value raw material, namely caught in the likes of Killybegs, but specifically for the pet food market, which is still in exponential growth. So that was the original premise, and I did a feasibility study into that. And then following the success, now that was supported by Udris, and then again following the success of that, we then progressed into Enterprise Ireland. We managed to secure a placement on New Frontiers program in the collab there. And that was fantastic from a sort of a... It just put a bit more shape on the business, because at that stage it was still very much concept. So that helped with shape the business plan and the business model, and then obviously provided a lot of mentoring and business mentoring and that as well. So it was all very, very good support, you know.
And when you're not busy with your business, you'd like to dip your toe into triathlons as well.
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah, I suppose, I don't know how I ended up. I was always into sort of adventure races and stuff. I suppose I like a challenge. That's probably the first thing. And when I was working in the past, like in family business, I used to get involved in a lot of adventure races and stuff. So that's how I kind of came into triathlon. And I did just one season last year, like a full season, like, because obviously work is demanding as well. So, yeah, no, I'd be part of the 24/7 club there in Letterkenny. And obviously with COVID now, it's all up in the air. But we've still managed to get into the water this year, which has been great.
Yeah. Your last triathlon was...
The last triathlon was last year. I think the last memorable one was Dunleary. That was the Ironman. And I had completed that after. So just prior to that, I had done the escape from Alcatraz in San Francisco. And that was, again, just sort of random. It happened by chance. Like, I have a friend who lives in Oakland in the States. And unfortunately, she lost her husband. And she'd been over at our wedding and stuff, and I decided I always wanted to go to San Francisco, and I was just flicking through a magazine, and I came across the triathlon, and I applied for it, but it was through a lottery. I forgot all about it, and then I got a text to say it was successful, and then I started to panic. But basically, we went out, myself and my wife went out, and effectively escaped from Alcatraz. So I'm not sure on that, but I do believe I'm the first Donegal man to have physically escaped from Alcatraz. So there you go.
Does that competitive nature cross over into your business world as well?
It does. I suppose maybe not competitive is the right word. I think, as I say, I do like a challenge, like, and I'm probably of a growth mindset. So if I'm not enjoying it or being challenged, I suppose, to be fair, if I'm not being challenged, then I feel I'm not moving forward or not making progress. Like, so I'm constantly looking at ways where I can improve, you know, where we can improve the business. Like, and yeah, so I suppose it does, you know, it definitely does move over, you know.
Yeah. And finally, Carol, long term aims of the business?
I suppose the long term aim is to grow it ultimately, like, but to add new products as well, and again, they will all be sort of fish related. I have some products that I'm hoping to introduce now in early January, and you know, ultimately try and target some export markets, and you know, create some employment, local employment as well. But that's the long term ambitions.
Carol, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Kieran, thanks very much. Appreciate that. Thank you.
That was Carol Bonner, founder of Fishdish. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by two-time author and founder of Digital Training Institute, Joanne Sweeney. Joanne is also a podcaster, a vlogger, and host of The Public Marketing Show. Her latest book, Public Sector Marketing Pro, was named in the best new PR books of 2020 by Book Authority and was a finalist in the 2020 British Book Awards for Best International Business Book. Joanne, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honour.
You are no stranger to the airwaves of Highland Radio, Joanne.
No, and I had such a great career at Highland, and I have to say I do miss it.
Good. You describe yourself as an accidental entrepreneur. Discuss.
Yeah, I guess I've been running my own businesses for 11 years now, but it was never my life's ambition to be in business. And so I accidentally became an entrepreneur, but I think if I look back now on my career, maybe the seeds were sown in the early days when I became a teenage mum at the age of 17, and I found that I actually was a very enterprising person. So from going back to school, washing dishes in the Rosapenna Hotel and Downing's afterwards to help fund me and Sophie, to then going to university with all our worldly belongings in 1997, after going back and studying my Leaving Cert, you know, Sophie and I were quite a duo, and we had to, I guess, chart our own path, and that really meant being enterprising, coming up with solutions to very many problems, and making sure that financially I could support her, but also, you know, emotionally and psychologically. And I think all of those traits are traits that entrepreneurs have, and so when it came to then launching my first business back in 2007, I kind of felt that I had the tenacity, the grit, and the courage, and the staying power to be able to go into business. And also, by then, I had an instinct that I wanted to run my own business. So yeah, that's where the accidental entrepreneur line comes from.
Yeah, you always came across as someone who was highly driven and highly ambitious. Are they two characteristics needed to succeed in business?
I think so, Kieran, because if you're not driven with a passion and a mission and a vision for yourself and the company and the business that you create, then when it comes to the inevitable, of having challenges in business, you might not have that staying power. Like, we're now operating in a landscape of a global pandemic, the first of our lifetime, and businesses are facing numerous and repeated lockdowns. And, you know, you ask any business person right now, how are they feeling with that uncertainty and with the challenges that they face, and none of us understand the scale of the challenges, they will say to you, it's being driven and it's having ambition and being innovative and creative and having that staying power to keep going that keeps businesses alive. And remember, our economy is hugely, hugely dependent on small and medium enterprises, as is, you know, the Donegal economy. And so it's just as well that we have lots of people like me around, right?
Yeah. The population, I suppose, was slowly making its way into the digital age pre-COVID, but there's been a gear shift into the higher gears since March.
You're so right. You know, I've been educating marketing on the whole area of digital marketing and social media for 11 years now, and trying to get the population and the business population and the government and public sector to come with me on that road. And that's very much built into my business operations, that I have to educate in order to get clients. So when COVID hit in March, it was a weird time. Like, we were all shocked in the beginning, and the reverberations of that shock you could feel right across the economy. And I myself was in the middle of it. I had a diary full of commitments in Ireland and across Europe in terms of delivering in-person training. And one by one, they got cancelled. And in February, my bookings for Northern Italy and Germany and Spain were cancelled. So I seen it coming, and then very quickly Ireland. So after the initial, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks, I said, well, listen, I'm going to have to pivot, and I'm going to still have to offer my consulting and training, but now ultimately 100% online. But how can I get the people and my clients to come with me? But what happened, Kieran, was that all the effort that I was putting into education marketing, there was a huge shift. I actually, my phone rang, my email inbox pinged, my social media DMs began to get traction. And people then realized that with no vaccine, and with this pandemic going to stay with us, that the communication with their customer, or whether it's government and public sector, with their citizen, was now going to happen exclusively online, and they had to pivot and they had to set themselves up to be in a position to communicate, whether that's to sell or whether that's public health guidance or whatever it was. So I agree, and I actually think that we have been parachuted at least 5 years, if not 10 years, into the digital age. I do believe ultimately this will be a good thing. It will be a good thing, and I call it the weird COVID gift. But I do believe that this kind of shake-up of how we do business will help us, because there are hundreds of billions of euro leaving Ireland every year because of the e-commerce market, but that money is not staying in Ireland. It's leaving and it's going into the UK, it's going into Amazon's pockets, because businesses are set up to give that user experience and deliver the product or the service seamlessly, quickly, online. So I'm hoping that despite the shock factor and the pain right now, that there will be some long-term good coming out of it.
Is this an opportunity for the business world to fully embrace digital now?
100%. And not only have the government recognised this, and they are investing in retraining, in e-commerce, in digital transformation, our new minister with a whole new portfolio, Simon Harris, who's in higher education, launched a plan recently on numeracy and literacy. And what kind of got my attention was that he also included digital literacy. And I thought that was very, very quick thinking. I thought he had foresight, because if you think about it, if we don't have the skills of digital literacy right now, how are we going to survive? They are as important as being able to read or write. Like, after all, we have Siri and we have machine learning and we have AI to help us, you know, in many different facets of our world. But business is now happening online. You look at our health service, how they transformed with telemedicine. You look at our banking system, now everything is mainly being done online. And now look at the activity of the consumer, which is now called a prosumer because they are proactively engaged online. They demand that they want to buy their product or access their service online. So the opportunity is there. The government have recognized it. And for me, when I'm working with any type of client, 50% of the challenge is mindset. It's either mindset of the business owner or else it's the culture in the company that it's not looking to embrace digital. It's actually moving against it and resisting it. But if you can just flip that over and see what we're going through now as an opportunity, you are halfway there on the road.
Talk to me about your latest book, Public Sector Marketing Pro.
So yes, this is my second book. My first book was written 4 years ago, and that was how police forces use social media. So I wanted to broaden that theme and look at how governments and public sector more widely are engaging in digital communications and social media to engage the citizen, to build trust, to build transparency, and also to communicate public services. Now, little did I know when I published that book in June 2019 that 9 months later we'd be in a global pandemic and that the number one social media brands in the world are not your FMCG brands like Coca-Cola or Nike. They are actually the World Health Organization and every government in every country in the world. As people search on Twitter, on Facebook, watch press briefings live on social from our governments, finding out what the latest information is around this pandemic. So it goes back to a little story. I'll tell you a story. I'll bring you back to Salt Hill in Galway, not too far from where I am now, and it was the year 1999. And I had a little conflict with a public sector body in the west of Ireland because I had decided to go to college with Sophie, but I was underage for third level allowance. So like, I went to college when I was 19, but in order to qualify for the third level allowance, you had to be 23. And it was actually a conversation that I had with Sean Doherty on Highland Radio during those years as well. But I remember the ombudsman, and he was Kevin Kelleher at the time, making an appointment to ring me in the phone box in Salt Hill because we didn't have mobile phones, or at least I didn't have a mobile phone back then. I didn't have a phone in my apartment. And I walked to that phone box and he called me and he gave me an update on the case. And he said, you know, I agree with you, Joanne, that legislation doesn't make any sense. You're going to save the government money, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll never, ever forget the public service that I got from that man and his willingness not only to acknowledge, you know, the complaint I had, but also to listen to me and to hear my story and to give me feedback. And I've always been a person that thought, no matter where you are in society, your voice matters. And what's interesting now in the world of digital and social, in my book, I say that the pendulum of power has swung from church, state and big business into the hands of the people. And I think that's a good thing. Now, I know there's a lot of bad things with social media and trolling and, you know, death threats, but there will always be bad actors. But I think now that trust and transparency is the number one currency in the digital age. And in fact, the foreword for my book was written by a man called Tom Cochrane, who was the former chief digital advisor to Barack Obama. And in the foreword to the book, he brings us inside the White House, and it's 2011. And on his first full day in office, Barack Obama said that he wanted transparent and open government. And the only way to provide public services that the citizens needed and demanded was to do it by using digital communications. So Tom actually said that my book was the handbook that he needed while he was in that job in the White House. But now fast forward to 2020, and I still think the words of Barack Obama ring true, and even more so now, because we're living in a pandemic, and the only way we are going to get to flatten the curve and to live with COVID in a way that doesn't, you know, have our hospitals under undue pressure and lose unnecessary lives is if the public listen. But the public will only listen if they trust their government. And they see that transparent government and public sector is available to them. And so I think we're at a critical time. And so, yeah, so that's the book. And I guess that's where the passion comes from. And then I get to combine my journalistic skills, my PR skills, my understanding of the internet and of politics. And so, yeah, I think it's 20 years of experience wrapped into that book.
Yeah. You mentioned your college days in Galway. Journalism was your first passion and it provided you with your first full-time job after you finished up college.
It was. And you know what, Kieran, and I'm not just saying this because this is a show on Highland Radio, but I've said this publicly many times before, it was the best start to my career that I could ever have gotten. If anyone remembers Joanne Sweeney reading the news back in the year 2001 when I started, like, I wasn't very good for the first 6 months at all. I could hear my knees knock and my heart pound in my headphones, but I was committed to the job and I got the best support. I had the best mentors that brought me to a stage where I believe I was a very good journalist. I got to cover the Morris Tribunal, the Bloody Sunday Inquiry, very many court and criminal cases down in Letterkenny District and Circuit Court, and then as a roving reporter out and about. And it gave me confidence as a young woman, confidence that I probably didn't have. It gave me access to very many corridors of power. It taught me how to think on my feet, think for myself, have an opinion, engage people, communicate with people. And, you know, so it's no accident that I write books and that I train people how to communicate in government and in public sector. And I also work with Learning Waves, which is the skill net in Ireland that provides training to the commercial radio sector. And so now I get to train radio professionals in social media and digital marketing. So yeah, I've had a great start in Highland, and the skills that I have go back to those very early days. I'm just sad that I left journalism so early on and I didn't pursue it. But anyway, my career path is what it is, and I'm happy to be where I am now.
What's your advice to businesses who still perhaps haven't made that leap fully into the digital age, Joanne?
Number one, go and find another business just like you that is active online. Go and find them. You probably know who they are because we all know who our competitors are. And just have a look at what they're doing on social. Have a look at their website. Have a look at the customer journey, because that's when you nail the customer journey online, you have an online business because the customer is impatient. The second thing that I would say is commit and say to yourself that you want to have an online business. Any business can be online. I mean, I don't sell products, Kieran. What I sell is my knowledge. And what I've done is I've turned my knowledge into digital products that are actually scalable. So I now have people who buy my courses from right across the world, and they can buy those products while I'm asleep. It's taken me a long time to build it, but again, I knew how to build out the customer journey and I knew who my audience were. And then thirdly, go and speak to your local enterprise office. They are investing in businesses in terms of building e-commerce capacity, in terms of digital transformation, turning customer service into online customer conversations, and don't be afraid of it. The digital age is here. It's only going to get deeper. There's going to be more social media use. There's going to be more use of artificial intelligence. But our economy needs you, and you have a place in it, and your customers want to buy from you, but you just have to embrace digital and find somebody who can help you.
A lot of talk at the minute around the whole area of social media influencers. What's your view on this topic?
So yeah, and this is an interesting conversation. So this came from, you know, the government are now have a concern that young people aren't getting their public health guidance messages. Perhaps they're not reading or watching the news, and it's just not hitting with them. Maybe that it's hitting other parts of society. Social media influencers have been around now. I'd say, I mean, let's face it, they've always been around. Come on, we've always had football stars, movie stars, and pop singers who endorse products. So they use their influence to to influence their fans or their following. Now we're in the digital age, you have what we call social media influencers. And these are individuals who may not be famous in the traditional sense, but who have actually built up a loyal following of people on their social network, so on YouTube or on Instagram or on Facebook or on Twitter. And their influence lies in the fact that when they speak or when they talk about a product, that their tribe or their online community responds and they either follow them and they, you know, do what they do or they buy the product that they are promoting. So everyone who has an online following, whether it's a million or whether it's 50,000, kind of has a responsibility. And you have a responsibility to, I guess, to be honest, to be transparent. There are laws around social media influencers in terms of advertising codes. So if you are paid money or if you're getting free product, you have to declare that. Just like if there was an ad on Highland or an ad in the Donegal News that somebody was paying for, it would be called an advert or an advertorial. It's not for free, unless that's PR and that's another story. So social media influencers are off their time. They definitely have value. And it's just another way to communicate with a target audience.
Okay. Before I let you go, I have to take you back to The Apprentice 2011. You were a contestant and made it through to the final. Talk to me about The Apprentice.
So yeah, that's exactly 9 years ago, Kieran. And I had entered the UK show the previous year and I got to the penultimate round. So I was pretty pleased with myself, but surprised. And then I saw an ad over Easter weekend for the Irish version and I said I would give it a go. Now, I didn't really tell anyone, only my immediate family. And I got through, and I tell you what, when I got the bus at 5 o'clock in the morning to Dublin to go into the show, and I didn't realize that I'd be away from home for 10 weeks, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to be myself, I'm going to put my best foot forward, and I'm going to work hard. And you know what, the process suited me, because I really enjoyed hard work, I really enjoyed business, I enjoy selling, and I didn't take myself too seriously, and I didn't get flustered with the cameras. And I guess maybe my Highland Radio training stood to me in terms of being a broadcaster. But it was a brilliant experience. And the one thing that I took away from that has been the confidence that it gave me to reach for my own business stars and to say that I could do anything that I wanted to do. And I guess it was confidence that I needed to keep going. And so even despite a recession, I did keep going. And what was interesting was when I finally got fired, and Bill did it very kindly, I came third, and then the last two were left to hammer it out. He said, Joanne, you're a great salesperson, you're a great PR woman. He said, but you are your business and you're not scalable. And what's interesting now is that my business is scalable because I can now scale my knowledge products around the world. And this is an opportunity for every young woman or young man or young person that's listening to this interview. The opportunities that we have right now to create our own fortune and to create our own business have never been easier because there is no recession on the internet. There are enough customers for all of us if we just understand how the internet works. So again, it was another great experience. And I think in life and in business, Kieran, with every experience that comes to you, whether it's positive or whether it's negative, the thing that you have to do is take the learning from it. And so for me, it was, you know, I could scale my business after figuring it out 9 years later, and I could do what I wanted if I just applied myself. So yeah, it was a positive experience for me.
Joanne Sweeney, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Thanks, Kieran.
That's it for another edition of Business Matters. I'd like to thank my guests, Carol Bonner and Joanne Sweeney. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.